know him by the nail prints in his hands.
Amen. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, and bless thy holy name. Just bless, O Lord, thy word today. Stir in us, O Lord, the love for you, love for your word more and more. And to be watchful, Father, in this hour that we live in. And because of the problem that we face in the world today, evil people have done much damage, O Lord, not only to the environments, O Lord, but to the destruction of the human race. But Lord, the common people, they are lost in understanding what is going on. So, Father, Lord, in what's going on today, even out there in Liberia, somewhere out there, there is again, O Father, an outbreak of Ebola virus, Lord. We know, Lord, there will be a lot of pestilence in the last day, but some of them, Lord, are caused by him. The rich and the powerful and the wicked, evil people, Lord, that brought about all these things. And we know that your Bible says, Lord, that if you do not intervene, the human race will be wiped out. But Lord, as your people will look to you, that you raised up, increased our faith, Lord, in hours such as this, that our faith do not wane off and fade away, Lord, into oblivion somewhere. And all the time that we are in this journey, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. What then, Lord? It just means that we have lost everything. So, Father, we ask for you now that you increase our faith. And bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just touch on a point or two to sort of tie in with last week's message. And the title of the message, of course, is Just a Change. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 58. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God give it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and body terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differ from another star in glory. So it also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as it is, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this is Paul's epistle, I believe, is written from where he was in Ephesus to the church in Corinth. Now, this is his revelation. That is his revelation. So, can we believe in something that is written by a man? We will not be able to believe it unless we believe that this Holy Sacred Scripture is in breath of God. And that Paul had this revelation not because of his wisdom, not because he just sit under a tree, maybe a fig tree, and try to meditate like Gautama Buddha and try to get some inspiration. But this is his relationship with Yahweh and his zeal for the law and the testimony of God. That so much so that in his relationship with God, that God called him to be an apostle and give him the revelation that God had never given to anybody else, the amount that he had given to Paul. And so when Paul talked about this thing about the resurrection, here he wrote about how would the body be raised, with what kind of body. And then he went on to, because I believe that the believers in Corinth, they might be having a debate and discussion, and you know, these are Gentiles. And Corinth is a city where there's a lot of, well, like modern day LA perhaps, or New York City, or Chicago, or Paris, you know, where there are a lot of people that come to learn about arts and cultures, and perhaps to probe into the mystery of lives. And so much so, of course, there are a lot of discussion, you know, and about what happened after death and what kind of body it will be when a man is resurrected. So Paul then wrote this to clarify. And it's because of this passage, such a passage like this, that we as believers, we have a hope. That this natural body, the corruption that is coming upon this mortal body. And once we are in a corrupt state, we are buried in the grave. But yet this body that we have presently is mortal. And yet Paul is talking about how that the corrupted body from that's lying in the grave will be raised incorruptible. And then those of us who are in this present mortal body will be resurrected or will be changed and become immortal. So, here I want to tell you this about the word that Paul used here in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. So when we talk about the change of the body, what we are looking at in the Bible is about the mystery of transformation. We know that there's going to be a change in the body because what Paul here wrote. But he says, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep. And we shall say, we shall not all die. Now, this was written back so many thousand years ago. Believers have died, and they're all sleeping in the grave, so to say. Now, remember the metaphor, you know, how the Bible uses expression, sleep. So, yeah, we Christians, we sleep. When we talk about sleep, the word Bible uses, the word sleep, is always referred to a saint. Lazarus, he sleep. Now, you wouldn't say that a wicked man sleep. You understand? You only refer to sleep as a transient state. That you sleep and one morning you just wake up. But sleep of soul, it's actually is death, but the Bible, like, you know, as God used this sleep just to show that we are not really dead at all. That means forgotten. So when people say you are dead, oh, dead to sin. What do you mean you are dead to sin? Dead to sin means you are already dead to sin. But if you are sleeping in sin, you are not dead. Some people are actually like zombies, sleeping, walking dead, right? So they are sleeping sin. They are sleeping sin, but they are sinner sin, that sort of thing. That you said that before, the way the Bible used words. Alright, so here Paul then said, in the moment at twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Now, we know that there's going to be a change of the body. But the question right now remains, what does the Bible actually say about this transformation? How is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? So we're going to look at some types in the Bible now. We know about the types of Abraham and Sarah. How that God promised Abraham a son. But they couldn't conceive. Now, we know that Abraham was 100 years old. That's when he got his son. At the age Isaac. At the age of 100 years old. And how old was Sarah? She's 19. 10 years different between them. So now the thing is that according to what we read in the Bible, if you want to, let's go to Genesis chapter 18, 9-15. Alright, here the three angels came to visit Abraham. And you know who those three angels are, don't you? When the Bible used the word angel, Allah does not think of angel, always think of angel as messenger. The word translated here is, well, because it's a word that implies as if they are all angelic being, spirit being. Okay? So, you always, when you read the word angel in the Bible, you just think of it as messenger. Okay, so there are different kind of messenger, heavenly one and earthly one. So this one is a heavenly one, but they appear in the form of man. Alright, so we know that one of them is Yahweh himself, or Elohim. Then the other is Michael and Gabriel. They're, how do we know it's Michael and Gabriel? Because there are only two angels in the Bible that we know so well, other than the great Lucifer who fell. And he's no longer called a messenger of God, but rather he's called the adversary of God. So we have Gabriel, which represents grace, and Michael represents law. So these two angels went down with the Lord God Almighty in the form of man and visited Abraham. Now, think for a moment here now, because I want to show the mystery here. Abraham, how did Abraham recognize that these three men were not ordinary men? That they were some supernatural being. Now, I want you to know that this is why we are living in that state. We are expected to be changed. We are expected the transformation. But there lies a mystery of how this thing is going to happen. Now, these are hidden from the denomination and the world because they are lost in tradition. When it comes to Christianity, they are lost in tradition. So, they find it hard to believe. They believe, as you know, that you're going to walk down the road in the bus or the train and you'll be raptured. Because you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? So now there must be a visitation. Now this is just beginning at one time, already shown in the book of Genesis. How old was Abraham when he came out of Haran? When God called him. You know, at the age of 70 he came out, when God called him at the age of 70 years old, from Ur of the Chaldees. He went out all the way, the trade route, so to speak, one way or another, to Haran. And he stayed there 5 years. And after his father died, because his father was old. You know. So after his father died at the age of 75, God called him to come out from Haran to go to Canaan land. So he left Haran and came with his wife. How old was Sarai? She was 65. Remember that. And all those years they were married, they have no children. Then they came down. Now, when they came down, they were still expecting God's promise for a child, for a son. Okay? So now let's read this here. Verse 9. And the angel said unto them, said to him, why is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken. I want you to know the word well stricken in age. That's the key word here you must understand. They were well stricken in age and he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. That means to say she already well menopaused. Not just stricken in age, but well stricken means she became went past the menopause. Okay? Therefore, Sarah laughed with herself, saying, I mean, of course, what do you expect her not to laugh? After all, she's already old, dried up, not even one egg in her womb, dried up already, already saggy. Yeah. And she laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, nah, he did not. The Lord heard Sarah's love. The Lord didn't say, hey, Sarah, why did you laugh in the behind the tent? God did not do that. You see, he is still dealing with Abraham because the promise was to Abraham, not to Sarah. That's why it's important that husband and wife be one. And God is always dealing with the man. Do you see the point? So then, why for this son of love, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which an old? See, the Lord spoke so that Sarah can hear, but it was direct to Abraham. Why did Sarah laugh? Abraham, have you not, you know, told her that I promised you a son when you were 75 years old, or 70 years old, to come out from that land, and for you to come down at 75 years old out of Haran? And that you, did you tell her that I promised you a son? Abraham, why for this other love? Just within hearing distance. Why for this other love, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, this is still directed to Abraham, right? You understand? Huh? Sarah, hearing that, denied, saying, I love not. For she was afraid. And then the Lord said, nay. Now direct to him, to her. Nay, but you laugh. But well, you know what? The Lord our God is just expressing his character, his relationship with Abraham. You know, Abraham was a friend, right? God called him friend. And I pray that every one of us be a friend to our Lord, really friend, that the Lord could just express so freely to Abraham and just say in such a way that Sarah can hear. You know, the Lord wanted to increase their faith by asking a question like that. And especially in this time when Sarah is already very dried up. At what age is this? She is here 89 years old. Now, when they came down from Haran at age, when Abraham was 75, they come down. They were somewhere in Canaan for about 2 years at the most. Then they went down to Egypt. Do you remember? They went down to Egypt. Okay, Genesis chapter 12. Okay, yeah. Genesis chapter 12. Okay, there was a famine, so they went down to Egypt. And in verse 14, it says, and it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptian beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and her sheep and oxen and asses and manservant and maidservant and she asses and so on and so forth. Now, you understand that over in verse, start from 11. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that you are a fair woman to look upon, therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see you, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of you. So now, of course, this is Abraham. He was afraid. He don't want to die. I mean, it's not natural. But it doesn't mean they're all. But again, so you see, a friend of God, Abraham, he was afraid. He was because he wanted. He was afraid to die. So he told Sarah to lie. So it's okay if I'm in a trap, right? I can lie and get out of here because God still loves me. Right? Does it mean that? Some people are getting to all kind of excuses, right? But you know, when you come to a state where you have this was written down, all this event, all the event that we see in the Bible of God, about the failure of man and woman of God, they are written for admonition. Because these are Old Testament. When in the New Testament, you hardly see much of this written, except for the hypocrisy of Peter and some of those that Hymenaeus, Philetus, and Alexander, character like that. You understand that? So let us be very watchful, because the time comes when we will be tested. Really tested for our faith. Okay, look. Here, how old was Sarah? Sarai, we say, 67. Remember, Abraham was 75. When he came out of Haran, it was about 2 years. So Abraham was about 77 years old. Sarah was 67 years old. So now 67 years old is not an old woman. It is an old woman for us today. Not old woman, but elderly. Past menopause. So, let's just look at this. Sarai, she was beautiful, fair. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that, oh, she was an old lady, but her skin is so white, and it's just people that were not white. I mean, does it what it means? No. Fair means to say that she's too young. She's not all wrinkled up. Now today, if you look at, or let's say now, in the days of Abraham, they can live up to the age of 180 years old. Remember that. Abraham's son, Isaac, lived up to the age of 180. Then Abraham's grandson, Jacob, I think he lived up to 150 or 147 years old. By the time Jacob had 12 sons, one of them was Levi, and Levi gave birth, right, to children. And Abraham and Moses came from that lineage, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, Jacob, Levi, Moses, by the time it comes down to Moses, Moses died at age of 120. And that's what the Bible said in the book of Genesis. My spirit will no longer strive with man. His days are numbered. 120 years. I mean, that is as far as you can live. But people do not understand the Bible. They say, no, read again. The average age of man is 70 years old, according to what Moses said. In the book of Psalms, but Moses was writing a song about their suffering over there in the wilderness. You know, in the wilderness. If you are strong, after 70 years, you don't die, you can live up to 80. But they think that that was the age that man was allowed to live. But you know, do you know that Singapore is one of the third, three, four, four countries in the world that people live more than 80 years old? And you find that in Japan, there are a lot of women, almost elderly men and women, about 100 years old. Right? You see? And if you go to Lesotho or somewhere in Liberia or Sudan or Somalia, what is the average age of the lifespan of men? Less than 50 years old. Yes? In African country, many places are 50 to 60 years old average. Why do these people die? See, brother, then people, if you take the lowest country like that, and people down on 50, and you take a country like Singapore, 80, and then you combine these two numbers, and you divide it by half, that doesn't make sense. If you don't have food, you have a disease in the country, you will die young, right? It's the environment you live in, how you treat your body. what you eat. If it's junk food, hey, you're going to die young. So people do not understand this. So, 180. So what is in the middle? 90 years old. Now that's why they say that once you brothers out there, sister out there, you live, you're now about, now you're 60 years old, you're going to live half your life. You're going to live half your life. And if you've got good health, continue to live. You might live maybe to 120. Which of course will be a struggle because you're under stress and the food that you eat today, we eat today, there are a lot of chemicals. But 90 years old, it's only middle. So, if we look at a woman today, at what age does a woman menopause? Huh? Average 50 years old. Some as early as 30, 35 because of some chemical issue, the body suffered. But as early as 45 to 50, 50 is the average today. So, what then do you think is the menopausal age in the days of Abraham? 75? You have to get the ratio. 75 to 80 years old. That is a menopause. So now at this age, at this stage of where Abraham and Sarah went to Egypt, she was only 67. 75 is the beginning of the menopause. So she's still right. You understand what I'm saying? Look at Yvonne. She's fair to look at. Huh? If you look at Sister Jackie, of course it's not. You understand what I'm saying? And you look at my son, he's still young and all this. Look at me, I already got wrinkles already. So you see, when we grow older, our hormone, or what we call the vitality hormone, is going to wane off, decrease. And all the collagen is going to go, so we're all going to get all dry skin and all wrinkled up. And then begin to bow, just like an old tree dying, it begin to bow. Hallelujah! I began to shut your hand up and praise the Lord for that. So you see, she was 67, so she was still young and pretty. But she still could not have children. But now, when they left Egypt later on, and in chapter, what we read later on in chapter 18, when the angel visited Abraham, how old was that? How old were they when the angel came and gave them the promise? Abraham was 99, Sarah was 89 years old. How old? 89 years old is way past. Because the menopause started 75 to 80. So she is 89. So well stricken. You understand what I'm saying? If a woman today at 50 years old, menopause started, 5 years later, just enough, 5, don't say about 10, 5 years later, she's already completely dry up. Do you understand that? So now, that's why Sarah, her name was changed from Sarah to Sarah, and she loved. But now, when the Lord speaks the word, there is where the spoken word comes in. Where is it? Chapter 18, verse 9. Here is where the spoken word is. Where is Sarai thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Not that God doesn't know. You understand? And he said, I will surely return. So here is the spoken word. I will surely return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Did you hear that? So now that's the spoken word. That's why Sarah laughed. She was already 89 years old. Sarah, that's why she laughed. For goodness sake, I'm old. I'm already well stricken age. And Abraham is also getting old. So now, after a while, couple of
months only.
There are maybe just 3-4 months, perhaps, let's say.
Something happened. Abraham rescued Lot after a few weeks of this infestation, and then they went out to, you can see in Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham sojourned from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Amalek, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And God came to Amalek in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." And Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, would thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." So here we see, Abraham told Sarah to lie. Why did Abimelech take Sarah and wanted to her to be his wife? Because she was beautiful. She is already near 90 years old. Huh? 89 years old, in the first few months of God speaking the word, her body began to change. And that's where the mystery lies. Now, many denominations do not know that. They just think that Sarah is always beautiful and young. Even though menopause or not, she's still as beautiful at the age of 89 years old. Now, something changed just within a few weeks. The first few days to the first few weeks. Because in the next 3 months after that, she will have a conception. Right? Think about it. So, just think how it is. And Abraham's strength was there too, that she went and rescued his own nephew, Lot. Am I right? Thank you. So, Sarah's body began to change little by little. Why? Why is there a need for that? Because you cannot, in modern day, take for example, in vitro, get a woman to get pregnant if she is already well menopause, a 55-year-old woman who is well menopause at the age of 50 years old, try to put her to carry the baby. Her womb will not be strong. It will not be easy for her to carry a baby. That's the reason why medical science says that if you want to have children, marry early to have children. Especially before 35 years old or something like that. Because afterward the body starts to go down. Yeah, you might be able to carry a baby at 40 years old, yeah. But you know how difficult it is when you grow older and older to carry a child in your womb. So, now you see this. Her body has transformed. And by 3 months later, she was pregnant. So at the age of 19, she gave birth to Isaac. Do you see the mystery now? First, you must understand, there must be spoken word. The body must have a transformation. That's what Paul said, we shall be changed. Remember, let me say this. What I've written earlier in one of my books. That our body, or Abraham's, Sarah, the body must be renewed, regenerate, revive, resurrect, in order to receive
the promised son. Renew, regenerate, revive, resurrect. Now, when you read the word resurrect, we will say that when a person is already, you know, hunched and over, weak, when you give him the strength, he goes up. There's a form of resurrection too. It's expression. We will not have our Lord Jesus Christ come to get us until our body is renewed, regenerate, revived, and resurrected. Then we receive the promised son. That's why Sarah and Abraham must have their body changed before he received the promised son, Isaac. That's number one. The next case we look at, of course, is Jesus. Now the book of Isaiah says you don't have to turn to, you know, and the Bible says God promised the children of Israel, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Right? A virgin shall conceive. That's the promise that God gave to Israel. All those young women at that time, from the moment that they heard about Isaiah's prophecy, perhaps they might be thinking, hey, I might be the virgin to conceive the Messiah. I mean, there might be some of them that look for it, right? Yeah. And it, you know, whether you believe it because you read the scripture, or that you believe it because you are deluded. Now, you know the song, It Is Well With My Soul? How the song was written? I think the song was written by a businessman who's also an elder in the church. And he had, I don't know whether it was to call to get the family from another place where he was, where they were living, to join him, and they were on the passage of a boat or ship. The wife and her three daughters, they were all in the boat, and there was a storm, and another boat happened to be coming close together and cut the boat into half, and all the children died, and the only one that was saved was the wife, who were clinging to a piece of wood or something. And then she telegrammed her husband, all the children died. Now, how do you feel? Of course, he was upset. Not only that, after his wife joined him, and then somehow he wrote this song. When people ask him how he's doing, he said, hey, it is well with my soul. He wrote those words, but it was not made into a song yet. Later on, he had two sons. And I think both of them also died because of some disease, I think. And then later on, another man put it to song, put it into a song. And you know, there was a lot, it seemed that this song had brought a lot of disaster. Not only that, the person who was involved with the song also had some disaster in life. But you know, that song was, and it also happened that later on, this man who wrote the song moved to another place and decided to live in an ashram, like in an asylum, ashram, huh? In an asylum. In a Malay, Indian say ashram. The asylum, a place all by themselves, like into a cultic link. And later on, he feel that he was some sort of a deity himself. You know, people get into all this problem. You know, when things are, the trials come, you either understand what you're looking at or you don't. Alright? So now, when the Bible said, the virgins are conceived. Now, that was the prophecy that was given by Isaiah to the children of Israel. Now,
how is it going to happen? If in the time of Jesus was to be born, would it just be a woman suddenly find herself pregnant? She's a virgin, find herself pregnant. Would it be like that? You see, the mystery of transformation, mystery of something to bring forth the promised Son. Now we are waiting only just for transformation. We are the reason why we're going to transform, as Paul said, then we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, right? To receive the promised Son of God. So now, God had to speak the word, or send a messenger to speak the word to a virgin. And that's why Gabriel was sent to Mary. And then not only to Mary, but he was involved also with Joseph. He wanted to put her away privately, but the Lord dealt with him. So now you have two parties that knows what's happening. Do you understand that? So there must be a spoken word. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, here I wanted to let you see that before the coming of the Lord, you know, in the day before Jesus was born, there were a lot of commotion, a lot of political unrest. You all know that. Huh? The Roman was there controlling. They have also war with the Egypt and war with the north and so on and so forth. And the Jew was under Herod's control in the place where they were. So there was a lot of unrest, and there was this. There were a lot of rebels that wanted to topple the Roman government as well. So it was a time of unrest. And then was Jesus born. So if you look at Matthew 27, 32 to 53, we're not going to read all this though, but just to let you see that here we have the crucifixion. Alright? Jesus already preached the gospel, but Israel rejected the gospel. So they crucified him. That is to say, they crucified the truth. They reject the truth, they crucify it. So when you reject truth, what is going to happen next is judgment. Okay? Now, when Jesus was crucified, he has to open a door, a way. That was the reason. His death on the cross brought about two things. One, judgment for those who reject the truth. Two, an open door for those who believe. So, what we talk about the Bible is a double-edged sword. As Jesus said, he sent the gospel to the family. The father was separated from the son, right? The dispute between the mother and the daughter, separation. So, the word of God cuts into two. Judgment on one side, the left, and on the side, on the right, is grace. So when Jesus died upon the cross, as you look at that, when he died upon the cross, what happened in the sixth hour? In verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he gave up the ghost. Verse 50. And when Jesus cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, or his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the same which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Rejection, judgment on one side. The veil is rent. Now the door is open for all those who want to believe. But at the same time, there was this earthquake. And the grave was open. But the dead did not raise up yet. The dead that were sleeping, the saint that was sleeping in that, only got out on the day that Jesus Christ came out of sepulchre. You understand? But people read it, they don't know that. You know why they find it difficult? That the saint came out at the same time? No, he came out only later. The saint got up later. Do you understand? Alright. Because what happened to Jesus Christ when he was in the grave? When his body lies on sepulchre, where was Jesus Christ? Oh, he was in the in the sepulchre. Now that's the body. And that's the temple. Or that's the house where Jesus dwelt in. He went out to show and preach to the souls that were in prison and set those captive. He was there to preach to them, the righteous and the unrighteous, that he had offered his life, redemption is paid. Propitiation has been paid. Atonement is paid. And those righteous sins were then resurrected with him when he got out of Seoul on the third day. He came out of the grave. So, we need to understand this. Now, there was a great cry made. It is finished. Well, that was a nice sound to hear. The day when Christ comes and says to us, oh, some voice speaks, it is finished. All is ready. Or something, whatever. Wouldn't it be nice to hear that? When we finally will be going home. John chapter 5, verse 24 to 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hear my voice, or hear my word, and believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Very, very, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and it is now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now here, remember this. 24 says, he that hear my word, he that hear my word, and believe on me, have everlasting life, right? And Jesus continued to say, now what? When you hear my word, when you hear my word, you hear my voice. Are you not? But verse 25 said, the hour is coming, and it is now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who are these dead? Who are these dead? The hour is now. He that hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall live. Do you know? All over the world, there are many walking dead. Right? You go to the mall, you go to the bars, you see a lot of walking dead. They're all dead in sin. And if they hear the word of the Son of God, hear the voice of the Son of God, when you share with them the gospel, right? When you preach to them, when you witness to them, testify unto the Lord, and they hear the voice of God speaking in their heart, then they shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so have he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment because he is a son of man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in that which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, and they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there are two kinds, there is one kind of voices, but two kinds of situation. Now, if you hear the voice of the Son of God, you live. Yes, you have the gospel of salvation. But there will come another time when the voice of the Son of God will be spoken, and those that are dead, one shall raise up resurrection to life, the other resurrection to eternal death. Do you understand? So, what do we prefer? Let's read on to hear the voice first while we are living. Obviously. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a passage we all know so well. Chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How many of you are sleeping with Jesus? Are you sleeping with Jesus? Are you or not? Those who sleep with Jesus are dead. So you're not sleeping with Jesus. Huh? You are walking with Christ. You're walking with Jesus. You know, I want to catch you whether you are paying attention now. By asking questions. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Verse 16 is a verse that we all know so well, when I was in the denomination. It's always preached that, oh, the rapture is coming. When the day the rapture comes, Jesus will descend from heaven, and there will be a shout, but they don't know how to discover what the shout will be like. They think that there will be a shout calling for you, calling your name. John, Jack, William, Jackson, Yvonne, whatever you call your name, shouting so loud with the voice of an archangel. That means the calling, the shouting was an angelic voice. You understand? Can you try to imagine what this passage is trying to tell you, the way that denomination tried to imply that that's the way it's supposed to be? And then there will be a trumpet. A trumpet blowing. So you could hear. I remember last year, 2 years ago, there was all this in what we call media. What media is that? Social media. On the YouTube too, and they were saying they all hear strange sound in certain countries, like, Yavi, did you see those videos? You wonder where the sound come from. He said, it's sky old. Maybe that's how they have the trumpet sound. Because when we talk about trumpet, and that's Israel. It's not a trumpet that you know people blow. The brass trumpet, or the kind, huh? But they usually blow it is a sofa. You know, and the sound goes, it just sounds like that. It's not ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, it's not like that. So, the imagination, is this how it's going to happen? Something, somebody shout, Christ come from down from heaven, and he shout calling for you. His voice is like the voice of our great angels. I don't know how he just voice sound anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know, this has remained a mystery. Even the word Trump, it can be a triumphant descent. Hoy! Calling your name. Triumphantly, he call your name. Is it something like that? You know, it remained a mystery until we know what the message came, and you're reading what Brother Branham said. The shout is the message. You know, the time when I first read it, the moment I read that the shout is a message, my mind goes all the way to Matthew 25. And that's where the message is. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come up to meet him. And Brother Abraham said, we are in the message. And that's why, you see, there have to be a preparation. These are the faces of Christ descending. The parousia. Now, when you talk about a parousia, people are always very scared. Because a German man, a German preacher says, no, that's a false doctrine. And he's gone also around the world. He's been to almost every country in the world, every city. Or not every city, every country. He's got out of the airport, going to a five-star hotel. And he called for a conference and fly out. And that's where he can claim that he has been an apostle or missionary to more than almost 200 countries of the world. So he says, parousia, no, I'm nothing to do with parousia. That's a false doctrine. People don't understand parousia. There have been false teaching, yes, like everything, the Godhead. Oh, you teach Godhead. Ah, that's a false thing. I don't care about it. What Godhead? My Godhead's teaching is false. Just because they believe in Trinity or believe in a vanity? Two person? I believe there's only one God and there's only one person. Not two person. But God is not a person. He is a spirit. And there's only one person of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's why we have the Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If people cannot see that, then something is wrong. And the relationship between the Father and the Son, they are oneness. And the Son is not greater than the Father. Never was equal to the Father. That's why when he put everything down, when the authority that the Father gave it to him, then he's in the position of Father. Then everything that he said and done and command is the authority of the Father. That's why when you talk about equality with the Father, is because of the authority given to him. To accomplish a certain work. And after that is done, what Paul said in the book of Corinthians, after death is conquered, he hand back all the authority back to the Father. Right? Yes. You remember the verse. Then the Son himself will be submitted to the Father. Subjected to the Father. You see, just because people do not know how to teach the parousia, this German minister just brushed away his post. You've got to listen. Just because somebody teaches a false doctrine about eternal, about hell, being eternal fire, you want to brush everything away. There's always the truth comes. There will always be something like news, for example. And then you have the fake news that come today. So many all over the world. All turn up mainly from America. That's true. But nobody likes to hear it. Now look at this Thessalonians. Thessalonians. If you look into your Bible, it was placed. Placed after what? After Philippians, after Galatians, after Ephesians, after Corinthians, right? But do you know that this was written before Corinthians was written? So, here is a mystery that Paul began to understand better. In this passage here, he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, go to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, where we read it early on, in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. So Thessalonians came first, then Corinthians. And Paul's revelation started building up. You know that revelation is progressive. God is still unfolding his revelation of the word to you and me. Do you see that? That's why when Brother Man came and he said in Thessalonians, the shout is the message. Then when I realized that the rest of the other two has to be ministries. Well, Bob and never teach on that. Never taught that. So the people, the Branhamites are all confused. Because Bob and talk about, he come down with the voice of an archangel and with the trump. And people are thinking, oh, the shout is the message of Brother Branham. After Christ come, he will be blowing a trumpet. To be consistent with the Bible. If revelation is truth, it has to be consistent. Do you understand? And so if the shout is a message in the ministry of a man, a servant of God, a messenger, then the voice of an angel continue with the ministry. And that's why the shout bring the saint out of tradition, out of organization, out of the world, and go into the marriage, which is in Matthew 25. The kupa. In 25, you see the messenger, right? In chapter 25, because the Bible said, at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. There must be a messenger, the forerunner. And the wise virgin went into the marriage. And in the marriage, who is inside the marriage? It's the bridegroom. That's why, you know, the bride should be with the bridegroom in the kupa, listening to him, have relationship with him, intimacy with him, until, like I said last week, arise, my love, my fair one. Come away. Then we go home. You see, the Lord Jesus is preparing the bride. You've got to learn to understand and hear the voice of God. All these are spoken word ministry. The fivefold ministry right now is speaking the word. Then the last trump. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15, 52, what he said. In a moment, in the twinkling of eye, at the last trump, continuation from Galatians, the shout, the voice of the angel, and the trump, right? At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Last Sunday I told you, it is not the seventh trumpet, because this trump raise the dead and change the body of the living saint. The seventh trumpet, it brings the wrath of God. Why are people so foolish not to see? No wonder the Bible said it's true. The prophet said it's true. There's none so blind as he who refused to see. Terrible.
You know, the Bible is difficult to understand, that is true. But then it is simple if your mind is open up and let the Spirit teach you. Otherwise, you will not know any other thing. Now, we are living in this end time now. You know, the two beasts is very busy working. And we see what's going on in the war with America. You know, sometimes when I talk about America, there are some believers who say, why are you talking so much about America? Some American public do not like it. Some do. They don't like it. Either because they're born there, America is a great country. Yep. Or immigrants went there and lived there, and so they became American citizens. And they have the American dream. But let us face back. What we are seeing today, with all this thing that is happening, this pandemic thing, you must understand that there is evil man at work. And it has been in the past. How they were experiment whatever they want to experiment on human beings. And they always have an agenda. But the world don't realize it. They don't know about it. There are a lot of things that are not natural. You look at what's happening to the world, the global warming. Some say, oh, it is normal. It is not caused by man. Not caused by man. And you know that the earth is tilting? Yep. And that's why even the icebergs are cracking up. And there will be a more earthquake that is coming. You recently, a few weeks, weeks ago, there were a lot of earthquakes down in the Pacific near New Zealand, right? Yeah. You one day probably when you get up in the morning you see the news. There are major earthquake, maybe like the one that happened in Fukushima 10 years ago. There'll be disaster that will take place. Yeah. But now, Brother Branham has a vision of America. You and I know how that he said, I saw a woman, a beautiful woman, rise up in America wearing purple. And she may be the vice president or the president of America. I don't know. I just saw her like that. Maybe it's a Catholic church. Well, you know, recently Biden came into power as a president, and with him was Vice President Kamala, and she wearing purple. What then now? We find, yes, perhaps before the year end, she, Kamala, might be the president, or maybe next year. I'm watching the timeline, I'm watching and being very prayerful to see how the whole thing unfolds. Now we have the Pope going through the Middle East, the Iraq, and Far East, and so on and so forth. Yeah. What's going to happen? America now with this president, there's a lot of gay people around the president. And American dollars still seem to be working very well. And out there, of course, in China with Hong Kong, and America tried to intervene. Europe tried to intervene. You know, the thing is this. Brother Bram's vision after the woman, the last vision, what did he see? the destruction of America. Now, we've got to be very close to the end time now. If the woman comes in, what are we at? And we are living in the year 2021. By the year 2027 or 2028, Israel will be 80 years old. Way past from the types that were shown in the song of Moses. Yeah. And if Kamala comes in, and by the year 2024, if Donald Trump wants to come into taking the place of the president again, I don't know what's going to happen. You see, we are living in a time very, very, very on the edge of our redemption of the body and the destruction of this world. You know, Brother Branham said that, I don't know whether Brother Branham really said it. I couldn't find it in a search on any of the books. But maybe it's on the sermon tape I never heard of. Because I was quoted many times by the extreme believer who only take what Brother Branham said. And when I talk about the summon thunder, the summon man to come, because we are living in the last trump, because the three phases of the coming of Christ, the shout is a man's ministry, a prophet, the voice of the archangel, the ascension ministry, the fivefold ministry, speaking the word. And then the third one, the trump, it's also spoken word. Brother Graham show us many things. But when I share that, some of these preachers and believers say, oh, but Brother Graham, Brother Graham said that rapturing faith lies in the messages. Means pointing to the tapes. You get rapturing faith by listening to the messages of Brother Branham. So, we can forget about the Bible. Forget about that. Because what use is the Bible if for me to be raptured? And if rapturing faith is not found in the Bible, it is only found in the tapes of Brother Branham. So let us just get all the tapes of Brother Branham. Or get it all now on DVD. And listen to it every day. Put it on a earphone instead of hearing music. And instead of looking at your phone and on your train, listen to the message of Brother Branham, because he's going to give you rapturing faith. You know, I asked different one, how many messages must I listen to get rapturing faith? He paused for a moment, he doesn't know what to say. What is it? You just listen to it. Another one said, there are seven messages, because there are seven thunders. And up there in New York, and Joseph Coleman, I think he passed away, he believed that the seven thunders are the seven virtues that Peter talks about in his epistle. And there are those that said to me, there are seven messages. Those seven thunders are seven messages of Brother Branham. I said, tell me what is it? And he named me the token. I said, oh, the token. Yes. Marriage and divorce. Marriage and divorce, what are you going to do with it? Huh? What else? The Godhead? What else? The serpent seed? Okay, four. What else? What are the three? I'm going to name it. You know, these are all assumption, presumption. Common sense will tell you that you know to have rapturing faith, you need to hear the voice. Let's go back to the days of Noah. It's a good example.
Then as for example, now Noah came out and tell the people, God spoke to me.
Well, maybe he's hearing voices and it's not from God. Maybe he's hearing voices from God. We don't.
But he said, God told me, God told me to build an ark.
To build an ark.
What for?
I don't know. He doesn't know.
God told him to build an ark.
He doesn't know what's going to happen. Just build an ark.
Or he came out to the people. I heard from God last night. God said there's going to be rain. And it's flooding the world. Oh, what shall we do? I don't know. Did he tell you anything else? Nothing.
You see, God doesn't do things hastily.
When he tell Noah to build an ark, he tell Noah that he's going to send a flood. And the ark was for their safety. Do you understand? A revelation is not half to where you don't know what's going to happen. You build an ark, what is the reason for an ark? And that's how we have people that preach things like that. What is the consistency? Let me just tell you something. If you have read my book, Speak the Word. You know, I went over to Philippines. I can't remember what year was then in the 80s. Which part of the 80s, I don't remember. I went there and I preached the message, Speak the Word. Not knowing that God was also dealing with God. No. And after finished preaching that, one owner told me about the dream that he had. You can read it in the book or in a message. Speak the word. And he told me also, said, Brother Gunn, you know what happened? One day a sister told me. She had this dream that our service was going on. And as service was going on, two men in white came from the back of the door. I mean the door at the back, and walked in. And he said, this is how we're doing. He said, they turned and looked at the man. And those two men speak something. And when they have spoken, and they walk out. And then the sister said, that there was something wrong with the hand. The hand was kind of going to a change. You see? And what about Brother Charles Oben in Uganda? He was wanting to, because he heard this version of the, about the thunder, that version of the thunder. You know, so he said one day, he said, I just prayed the Lord that the Lord would show it to me. And he went into a vision, a night vision. Walking down the road, there was this large sheet of paper that came down and landed on the road in front of him. And he was curious. He picked it up, opened it up. What did he see? He saw passport-sized picture of seven men. And he looked at it. It was so clear. But he didn't know who these men were. And then on top of this rod of seven, passport-sized photograph, were the word written, seven thunders are revealed on the way. You see, that is what God is dealing with people. Even Sundara Raj. And if we look at the scripture further in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, mighty angel came down, right? And then he shouted with a voice as a lion roar. What did John then next saw in the vision? Look into your Bible, chapter 10. He said, seven thunder uttered their voices. How do you know that there were seven? Now, just imagine, okay. He was sitting in the room.
Open vision. You saw the mighty angel came down. Huh? Mighty angel came down. With the voice of a lion roar. Putting his right foot in the sea, left foot on land. Then John saw seven thunder. Because he counted them. You know there are seven. And they uttered their voices. And he, what they said, they wanted to write down, but God said, don't seal it up. So it's not in the Bible. And you know what? There's one place here. In the book of Zechariah. I just remember it. Let's go to the book of Zechariah quickly. The day of small things. Zechariah chapter 3. Verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellow and those fellow that sit before you. They are wonderful men. Men what they had have a special something to do. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Huh? I am all seeing, omniscient, all knowing. Behold, I have partaked the partaked thereof, said the Lord of hosts. I have engraved the engraving. It's the same word at play. I engrave it, it's not made known. I will partake it, I will make it known. So it just said, someone thunder, they uttered the voices in Revelation 10. But John heard it, he heard it, but was about to write, don't write it. So if it's not written, it must be revealed. To those who are John, the beloved of God. Now let me just bring forth some quotes of Brother Branham here. Not that I care for quotes to prove anything, but that we may know what Brother Branham said and not what the Branhamite tried to interpret what Brother Branham said. Alright? Now he mentioned here in Sir, what is the time about the seven thunder uttered their voices. Brother Branham said there was something said. It just wasn't a noise. Something was said. Of course, if we read that, we know. And John was about to write. And then I heard a voice from heaven sing unto me. See, look, Baba, and said, look where the voices were in the thunder. The thunder did not sound from heaven. It sounded on earth. So if it sounded on earth, what it must be? It must be men. If God were to speak from heaven, it will be a sound. Only an audible voice heard by you from heaven. But this thunder was on the earth. So if it's on the earth, that's why when the three angels came down to Abraham, they're on the earth. They're men. Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright? in the first seal, there's coming forth seven mysterious thunder that are not even written at all. Right? And I believe that to those seven thunder will be revealed in the last day in order to get the bride together for rapture and faith. Because what we got now, we won't be able to do it. There's something that has got to step forward, but we can't have enough faith for healing. We have to have enough faith to be changed in a moment, to be swept out of it. Do you see what I mean? We need to have the faith for us to be changed. We don't even have enough faith for healing. So how can we therefore be healed? And the same thing, how can we be changed unless we are giving rapturing faith? And I said this before. When faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? Salvation. How do you get saving faith? When you hear the gospel, you believe, you get saving faith. The day that we repent and receive the gospel and so on, it did not take you 20, 30 years down the road to be saved. You are saved the moment you have been given that revelation and the Holy Spirit come in and be a witness to you. You got it? Same thing with healing. If you hear the word of God spoke to you and you really have that revelation, you get healed. How many of you ever get healed because you pray and repent and then God give you, say, now you are healed? How many of you have? I have. You see? And what about rupturing faith? People have been listening to Brother Abraham's book, reading his book, listening to the message, since when? Since after Brother Abraham passed away. There are many people that have been hearing in more than 60 years now, right? Hawaii is not that rapture. How come you're still on earth? Do you understand? Take up that bed and walk. And the sick man and the palsy man lying there, what? Take up my bed and walk? I'm lying there, I'm crumbled. Means there's no revelation. And Jesus said, take up that bed and walk. Because he believed he had the faith. Because it was revealed to him that this is the healer. And I heard his voice. So he got up his bed. Strength was given to him and he walked. Right? Jesus healed the blind man. He took some dust, some earth, spit into it, and he made it into a paste. Why did he do some strange thing? Put on his eye. Go and wash. The man washed. What do you see? I see man like free walking. That was not good. Jesus was texting him. What do you see? Then Jesus made him whole completely. So he will not see man like tree walking anymore because he will not be blurred. See, God is always dealing with our faith, make us to increase our faith. There has got to be something to change this church, you know that. Second seal, God help our unbelief. Take it away from us, Lord. We want to receive rapturing grace. We want to be able, when that mystery of thunder out yonder, we want to be ready to receive it. Correct? Third seal, the bride hasn't had the revival yet, and that is very true. We don't have revival at all. Revival at all for the sinner out there to come hear the gospel, get healed, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We have revival only in the word, spiritually. But for the body, not yet. So this body must be redeemed. There has been no revival, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. See, we are looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up. He will send it. He promised it. Those unknown thunders. Fourth seal. Wait till them, you know Brother Abraham's language, huh? Wait till them, seven thunder, utter their voices to their group who really can take the word of God and hand it there. Yeah? And see what happened. Your body is going to change. Seven seal. Now, what's this great secret? It lies beneath this seal? I don't know. You know, that's what Brother Ben is always. He's trying to understand. And when you don't, he just tell you. I don't know. I couldn't make it up. I couldn't tell it. Just what it said. But I know it was them seven thunders uttering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times. And it unfolded something that I see. Then what I see? I looked for the interpretation that flew across there. I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right. You know why? Because some thunder is silent. Brother Ben saw all those strange language coming out. He doesn't know what that is. How many of you here except for him? No stammer. You see all those words written there, or in Sanskrit or Hindi. Do you know? I don't know them. The hour is not quite yet, but we are moving to that cycle. See, it's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is remember, I speak to you in the name of the Lord, be prepared. For you don't know what time something can happen. I only tell you what I've seen, what I've seen and what has been told to me. And you do whatever you want. Okay? I don't know what's going to take place. I don't know. I do not know. I just know that those seven thunder hold the mystery that heavens was quiet. That's why he was silent. Something great is about to happen. One of the mystery of that sieve, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was someone thunder, they uttered their voices, and there it is perfectly because nothing knows anything about it. It wasn't written. Now, do you notice on the opening of the seventh seal? It's also a threefold mystery.
Huh?
The seventh seal, threefold mystery. That this one I have spoken, that it is the mystery of seven thunder. If one of it is, one four is a mystery of seven thunder, what is the other two? Well, I'm going to tell you anything here. That's why prophets are like this. They talk very strange. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have eternal life. What? You understand? The seven thunder in heaven will unfold this mystery. You'll be right at the coming of the Lord because Christ said no one knew what when he will return. Nobody knows when he's coming. There will be seven voices of those thunders. Seven voices of those thunders. Thunders and voices are different. Thunder is a thunder, they are men. Voices is what they uttered. That's what people don't understand. That's why my Italian tell me the seven thunder are the seven seals. Seven thunder are thunder, seven seals are sealed. Just because the seal opened, there's a thunder. And they get it from one statement where Brahman made, he said, when the first seal was opened, there was a thunder. Yeah, the Bible said about, the Bible said all the seals, when they were opened, they all had thunders. Why exalt Jesus? Because they do not understand. Alright. So I believe, if we don't know, it won't be known till that time. But it will be revealed in that day, in that hour, that it was supposed to reveal in. That's the reason why it's so important. Only at the time, at the right place, at the right, to the right person. And it won't be known till that time. So, the thing for us to do is to be reverent before God and serve Him. And do all that we know how to do. And live good Christian lives. Here now we find that the sixth seal has been broken to us. We see it. We know that the seventh seal cannot be broken to the public until that hour arrives. So, there was some reason that God let these seven voices be thundered. Because it must come. And that is very true. If it is, show to John a vision. John heard it. He was about to write it. But said, don't write it. That means it must be made known again. So that we will hear it. Abraham said, sitting in my room. And I heard this. Not heard it, mother. But seen it unfold to the seven thunders. Not as far as I can. As we can go. Right there. So, we're waiting for the change. And I believe, as we have been taught from the scripture, we have to be watchful and prayerful unto the coming of the Lord. Amen? One of these days, I don't know, if somebody, there's a knock on the door, open it. You may not know who is out there. In a plane or train or bus, someone come and sit next beside you, one or two of the guys, speak the word. You hear, and then they just walk off. The bus or the train, and they will disappear. You may be cycling in the park, and then in front of you two or three guys, and they stand down there waiting for you to come. And you stop your bike, they say something. And they wave you goodbye. And you cycle, and if something happens, you turn back and look, they are not there. Because you see, I believe in Philip's transportation. Remember? What God did with Elijah appearing here and appearing there. Same thing with Philip. From Samaria, the Gaza desert, he went back again. Right? It will happen. Don't think that it is not. The supernatural, we have not really seen very much of it yet. May the Lord bless every one of us. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you.
looking forward, Lord, to the day for the redemption of our body. Yes, Lord. Looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. And Lord, we know that your word is true. It is unfolding to that hour, Lord, that we're living in. And surely, Lord, we have to hear the voice. We have to hear a spoken word to get saving grace, saving faith for our soul. Likewise, Lord, for healing, we need to hear your voice speak to us one way or another. And when we catch that revelation, we'll be healed of our disease, whatever we are looking for. And we are looking for the one important thing, Father, the rapturing of our body, the change of our body. In that moment of an eye, just that one instant, just that one change. But before it, we know, Lord, we need to hear from you. That you speak the word to the seven thunders. Something that John heard when he was on the Isle of Patmos. Something that you shown him. Something that he heard and he was wanted to write down. But Lord, he turned to seal it up. And there was this great silence that we know, Lord, that it's going to happen. And I pray, Lord, it will happen soon. May you bless every one of us, Father, Lord. We ask for your grace now, then. Take thy word further and break it down to us in Jesus' name.